But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with proof Americans do not like the Cheeto-in-Chief. Move on to how the Republicans stop time in order to avoid voting against tariffs. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, How Many U.S. Citizens Can Be Deported to Foreign Prisons. Let's begin, shall we? Apparently, the final season of The United States is a cautionary tale, because Canada and Australia both said fuck no to electing their Ronald Dump wannabes, even going as far as to make sure those clowns lose their seats in Parliament. A wise choice, I must say. Meanwhile, in the United States, and thanks to the rigging of the 2024 presidential election, Trump's words, not mine, the American people have very few options. One is to take to the streets with hilariously snarky signs by the millions, which has been happening weekly. The other is to not hang up when pollsters call so you can be part of the majority of Americans that think the current sack of moldy oranges occupying the White House is the absolute worst ever.
NORC poll finds that 39% approve of how Trump is doing his job, while a whopping 59% disapprove.
A new Fox News poll shows just 33% approve of his handling of tariffs and inflation, while 38% approve of his handling of the economy as a whole. A new Reuters poll found just 37% approve of Trump's job on the economy.
On immigration, a majority of Americans, 53%, disapprove.
Pew Research Center, where he's minus 19. The Economist YouGov poll, where he's minus 13. The Reuters Ipsos poll, where he's minus 11. And now Fox News, where he's also minus 11.
A new ABC News, Washington Post, Ipsos poll found that President Trump has the lowest 100-day job approval rating of any president in the past 80 years.
I look back at all of the polling we possibly could long before I was born, and Trump's 41% at 100 days is the worst on record. He has broken his own record for being the worst.
The president, perhaps unsurprisingly, posting on social media this morning to call them sick and those who write about them the enemy of the people, adding he thinks these pollsters should be investigated for election fraud.
Well, of course he would say that. The commander in American Cheese's default setting seems to be a McDonald's fueled version of off with their heads. So why should this be any different? And not for nothing. But it's fucking hilarious that Dictator Don's got his Huggies all in a bunch because Americans think the sequel is worse than the original. And that's saying a lot because first round sucked pretty bad, folks. So what makes the second time around so skibbity toilet? Well, for starters, I'd say having a public argument with one of your broligarchs over whether or not to show Americans how much your tariffs are really going to cost.
A new report from Punchbowl News says that Amazon is looking to avoid the blame for raising prices as a result of President Trump's new tariffs. The e-commerce giant will begin displaying how much the tariffs are adding to the price of its good right next to the product's list price. They don't want to be accused of gouging.
And you know they will be.
And they will be.
Yes. We know who will be doing the accusing.
Since I just got off the phone with the president about Amazon's announcement, this is a hostile and political act by Amazon. And I would also add that it's not a surprise because, as Reuters recently wrote, Amazon has partnered with a Chinese propaganda arm.
A few moments later,
Jeff Bezos, who is worth about $205 billion and had a front row seat to the inauguration, is now getting blasted by the White House for what they call a hostile and political act. But now the Amazon founder and his company are walking back this idea that the website was about to display the cost of President Trump's tariffs right next to the total price of products.
And with the flick of the president's chubby wrist, the penis-shaped billionaire proved once again that shrinkage isn't just a thing men experience when getting out of the pool. It's also the default setting of rich bitches who are having a PR meltdown since sending Katy Perry and Gail, Have You Been to Space King, to the edge of our Earth's atmosphere, and then thought to themselves, How am I going to make any money when, like, everything I sell is made in China? Because no matter the label, folks, everything is made in China. An unavoidable problem every single business in the United States is going to be facing now that the last of the pre-tariff cargo ships are docking. If you ask, of course, Rand the Kentucky Curly Q Paul, who recently yelled this on the Senate floor.
You know, there was an old-fashioned conservative principle that you didn't do taxation without representation. Our Constitution forbids taxes from being enacted without the approval of Congress. And yet here we are. Americans have now been ordered to pay higher taxes in the form of tariffs, but without the consent of Congress. The tariffs are simply imposed by presidential fiat, by proclamation. Assumes all power by asserting a so-called emergency is the antithesis of constitutional government. People, particularly on my side, are looking away and saying, oh, whatever. We'll just let the president do whatever. The founders would be shocked that Congress would voluntarily and recklessly and fecklessly give up their power to the presidency to submit to emergency rule. The founders would not have expected the House of Representatives to become so craven as to refuse to even allow a vote on ending the emergency. The law says that the vote we will have is mandatory. It is privileged. The Senate will adhere to the law. The House will not have a vote. The House, in its haste to give away its power to tax, actually passed a rule to prevent a mandatory vote on ending the emergencies. They prevent it because the rule says that days no longer exist, despite the legislature continuing to meet each day. The House has essentially ruled that days are not days, and they are not to be counted as days until such time as the House again agrees to allow days to be counted as days. It is craven, it is cowardness at its best, and it is dishonest because a rule of the House is preventing a law from being obeyed.
I cannot believe I'm saying this, but folks, the uncertified eye doctor from Kentucky ain't wrong when he said the House of Representatives decided that days aren't days in order to get out of voting on Fat Nixon's tariffs. This move happened back in March, and in case you missed it, here's Rachel Maddow to explain.
Republicans are facing this political situation now, right, where the U.S. economy looks like it's being destroyed for fun by Donald Trump because someone once told this guy a thing he didn't understand about tariffs. He declared an economic emergency that gives him the power to unilaterally declare these tariffs. Congress also gets the power to call the emergency off. So Congress could just vote and declare this so-called emergency to be over. Democrats in Congress planned to make Congress vote on that exact thing. Republicans would be forced to either go along with the tariffs anyway, because Trump is doing them, or they'd cast their vote to stop Trump from doing these tariffs. They have to start the process of voting on it within 15 days. And so what did they decide to do with that power? They decided to give that power away so they no longer have that power, so they don't have to decide what to do with it. Republican leaders slipped language into a procedural measure. They proclaimed that between now and the end of this Congress, that is just one long day. That's just one day. Quote, each day for the remainder of the 119th Congress shall not constitute a calendar day for the purposes of this emergency declaration, so that 15 days will never elapse and they will never have to vote.
I'll bet Speaker Mike and his Tiny Johnson thought they were clever with this whole changing of how time works in order to avoid a vote mandated by law, making sure Republicans wouldn't have to vote against the tariffs that are about to cause empty shelves all over the country in the coming weeks, hurt American businesses big and small. The same people they claim to care so much about.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
Not that these traitors give a flying fuck about whether or not their constituents can even afford basic needs, let alone whether or not those needs are on the shelf when they get there, especially when their 34 times convicted felon occupying the White House has his federal Gestapo agents arresting judges for judging.
spokesperson for the U.S. Marshals Service says that a judge in Wisconsin was arrested at the very courthouse where she works. Judge Hannah Duggan, who she's a Milwaukee County Circuit judge, was arrested, quote, for allegedly assisting an undocumented immigrant in avoiding arrest after he appeared in her courtroom last week.
They allege in charging documents, Judge Duggan, that's a defendant in her courtroom for domestic battery, was being pursued by immigration agents, and that agents were outside the judge's courtroom. The judge called the presence of the immigration agents there for that cause absurd, and then sent the immigration agents to the chief judge's office. While they were at the chief judge's office, they allege Judge Duggan moved the defendant who was to be detained to a jury box seat and then out a jury doorway into a hallway not commonly used by the public. According to the charging documents, the agents eventually caught up with that defendant, arrested him, but now the FBI alleges Judge Duggan engaged in obstruction, a federal felony for which she now is criminally charged.
The FBI director, Kash Patel, issued a tweet that has since been deleted. We're not sure why it was deleted, announcing this arrest and announcing these charges. And he said, quote, "We believe Judge Duggan intentionally misdirected federal agents away from the subject to be arrested in her courthouse, Eduardo Flores Ruiz, allowing the subject, an illegal alien," his words, "to evade arrest," end quote.
Because that right there is Crimes the Clown's wet dream come true. So for exposition purposes, Judge Hannah Duggan was just doing her job in a Milwaukee courtroom when a bunch of impotent rage baiters showed up to arrest a dude she was in the process of judging. Which is a fucking no-no. But they had an administrative warrant. The most basic bitch of warrants. And no authority, by the way, to bust into her courtroom because that would require a judicial warrant. So Judge Duggan sent the Gestapo to her boss's office and continued doing her job, judging the dude that was in front of her. And once that was done, had him exit in the same hallway Trump's SS soldiers were hanging out in. The same hallway where the dude in question was eventually kidnapped by ICE and taken to some black hole in Louisiana. And you'd think it would have all ended right there, but you'd be wrong. Because in Drumps America, it's impotent rage that dictates how the revenge plot will play out.
As you guys look at other judges, would you ever arrest somebody higher up on the judicial food chain, like a federal judge or even a Supreme Court justice?
Well, that's a hypothetical question. Again, I defer you to the Department of Justice. And so anyone who is breaking the law or obstructing federal law enforcement officials from doing their jobs is putting themselves at risk of being prosecuted, absolutely.
They're deranged is all I can think of. I cannot believe, I think some of these judges think they are beyond and above the law, and they are not. And we're sending a very strong message today. We are going to prosecute you, and we are prosecuting you. You cannot obstruct a criminal case, and really, shame on her.
I said from day one, you don't have to support ICE's operations, sanctuary seizing, and stand aside and watch ICE keep their community safe. Because any public official, whether you're mayor, city councilman, or governor, and they should be helping us. When you cross that line to impediment, you will be prosecuted, judge or not.
Oh, there was so much wrong with what Lipless Levitt and Pick Me Bondi and the overcooked potato called Homan just said. But first, America, we are a rule of law kind of nation. What that means is judges can and do rule over whether or not anyone, including the lumbering lardass, can break the law. A fact I wouldn't expect a gold-digging press schmuckretary and a career pig to understand, but not Attorney General Pam Boxcolor Bondi. Which leads me to the only logical conclusion that perhaps Pammy getting her Juris Doctorate from a college named after the cowboy costume company Stetson probably wasn't such a good idea. And how do I know that? Because here's the slurring border tuber who doesn't know how due process works, something Pammy should have explained to him.
The Venezuelans who were sent to another country were thrown into a prison without any due process.
That's not true.
Because what you're saying is
you can't say any due process. There were due process. Hundreds of hours were spent on verifying they're a member of a
Yeah, but due process means you can you can be in front of a judge and argue against the accusation that's going to land you in prison. It doesn't mean that people only investigate and declare you a criminal or a gang member.
Due process comes in many fashions.
No, the fuck it doesn't. Due process, as provided by the American court system, is defined by the U.S. Constitution as a method by which the accused gets to provide evidence of their innocence while the prosecutor gets to provide evidence of their guilt. Then a judge or a jury and a judge decides who's telling the truth and whether or not they're punished for the accused crimes. Not some backwoods Barbie and Ken dolls who have a white supremacist interest to disappear anyone with a darker skin tone they didn't have to spend half a day spraying onto themselves. And don't think this idiocratic attempt at a chilling effect on the judiciary is lost on anyone who paid attention in high school history class. Because this is the same thing the mustache man from Austria did back in the late 1930s. When he was disappearing all kinds of people in boxcars to other countries where he had concentration camps waiting for them. And because a border czar is only as smart as the six times a bankruptcy junkie who hired him, it may come as no surprise to anyone who didn't vote for this that Mamboo Mussolini doesn't know how due process works either.
The law requires that every single person who is going to be deported gets a hearing first.
Well,
do you acknowledge that?
I'll have to ask the lawyers about that. All I can say is this. If you're going to have 21 million people, and if we have to get a lot of them out because they're criminals, we're going to have to act fast. We can't. Wait, wait. Do you think we can give 21 million trials? Let's say each trial takes 2 weeks. Is that what you want us to
the
do?
Law
give 21
the law
million?
Sir. The law is the law,
no,
and you're
the
sworn
law doesn't
to
say anything
it.
About trials.
No, not trials. Hearings. I said
these
hearings.
People came in. They're not citizens. They came in. Illegally. They came into our country right. Illegally.
And
we have to get them out.
There's a legal process for that.
I can't, sure, and we follow the legal process. I can't have a trial, a major trial
I'm not
for
saying
every
major.
Person that came in illegally.
But in our country, even bad guys get due process, right?
If people come into our country illegally, there's a different standard. Well, they get a process where we have to get them out, yeah.
And that response, my friends, is why reading is fundamental. Because if this president by rigged election knew how to read, or anyone else in his regime, by the way, they'd know that according to the U.S. Constitution, the Fourth Amendment protects people in our country, not just U.S. citizens, against unreasonable government searches and seizures. In other words, the Trump regime cannot disappear a person in the United States just because they want to. The Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments protect the people, not just U.S. citizens, right to due process. In other words, there is just one process that is due to every person on U.S. soil, and that is their day in court to confront their accuser with facts. Facts like Kilmar Abrego Garcia does not have MS-13 tattooed to his hand. But don't tell Trump that.
The man that you picked out, he said he wasn't a member of a gang. And then they looked, and on his knuckles, he had MS-13.
There's a dispute
over
that.
Well, wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was photoshopped. So let me just...
That was photoshopped, Terry. You can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay.
I picked you, Terry, but
you're not being very nice. He had MS-13 tattooed.
Right. We'll agree to disagree. I want
Terry,
to move on to something else.
Terry, do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture. We'll agree to disagree.
Well,
Here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS-13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them. I want to turn to Ukraine,
Terry.
I want to get to Ukraine.
No. He had MS, as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why
all
people
right.
no longer believe
well,
the news, because
when
it's
he was
fake
photographed
news.
In El Salvador, they aren't there. But let's just go
he
on. They
is,
aren't there when he's in El
there,
Salvador.
Oh, they weren't
Take a look
there,
at the
but they're there now, right?
No,
but
they're
there
in your picture.
Terry.
Ukraine, sir.
He's got MS-13 on his knuckles.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a look.
You do such a disservice.
We'll take a look at
Why
that, sir.
Why don't you just say yes, he does, and go on to something else?
It's contested.
That clip I just played from the interview with DeLulu Dawn and ABC's Terry Morin has gone viral for all the right reasons. First off, it's hilarious that Von Krapps and Pampers is defending a picture his numbskulls photoshopped to prove Kilmar was a gang member. Spoiler alert. We weren't fooled. But then Mango Magoo whines about the interviewer not agreeing with his fake version of reality being the real one. Sounds to me like old Yamtits has been spending way too much time surrounded by idiot companions with rings of Cheeto dust covering their lips, because here in the real world, we can see from Van Hollen's meeting with Garcia that MS-13 is not tattooed on his hand. A fact the Trump regime is fighting hard to convince the American public they did not see with their own eyes, which pairs perfectly with a taxpayer-funded stunt recently pulled by Mayor McTreason.
The White House has put up about 100 posters of what they say are unauthorized immigrants who have been arrested for violent crime. They put them up on the driveway of the White House. But what's particularly noteworthy about this location is it is right directly behind the positions where TV correspondents do their hits from the White House lawn. So therefore, no matter what network you're on, that includes MSNBC, if you're doing a hit from the White House right now, those pictures will be behind you.
We know that PolyFact actually checked the Trump administration because of an earlier picture that they released on Kilmer, recognizing that it was altered, that it was false, that they had placed gang signs, tattoos on him that weren't real.
So what makes us think these pictures of people that the White House lawn has put out is legit? Well, spoiler alert, abso-fucking-lutely nothing. This regime has lied about the people they're deporting since the beginning. They said they were violent criminals, but 60 Minutes and NPR revealed that 75% of the people deported do not and have not committed any crimes while they were in the United States. And for those of you in the back, entering this country illegally is a civil offense, not a criminal one. But then there are the U.S. citizen children ages 2 to 4 who have been deported, some of whom are recovering from cancer. So what crimes did they commit? Eating all the Elmer's glue? And let's talk about deporting U.S. citizens for a moment, because it's not just about kids born in the United States to migrant parents, like how anchor baby Rubio is able to stay in this country. I'm talking about U.S. citizens born to U.S. citizens being deported to wherever the fuck the Trump regime chooses, like Libya or Rwanda, regardless of whether or not the person deported is even from those countries, because obviously they're not, they're a U.S. citizen. And here's what Payless Putin had to say about deporting any U.S. citizen.
You mentioned that you're open to deporting individuals that aren't foreign aliens but are criminals to El Salvador. Does that include potentially U.S. citizens, fully naturalized Americans?
If they're criminals, why do you think there's special category of person? They're as bad as anybody that comes in. We have bad ones, too. And I'm all for it. Because we can do things with the president for less money and have great security.
Oh, well, when you put it like that, no the fuck you ain't. According to 8 U.S.C. Section 1427, the Schindler Brigade cannot deport any U.S. citizen or naturalized person. This law also gives immigration judges the right to terminate any removal proceeding if the person being disappeared turns out to be a U.S. citizen, regardless of their age. Meaning those toddlers Trump's barely a human border czar couldn't give two shits about deporting were actually kidnapped and trafficked to a foreign country by Rumpelthinskin's ICSS soldiers. A fact being facilitated by every Republican on Capitol Hill after what happened this past Wednesday in the dead of night.
My amendment is simple. It simply states that none of the funds in this bill may be used by Immigration and Customs Enforcement to detain or deport U.S. citizens. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, I hope we can all agree that U.S. citizens should never be detained by ICE or any agency conducting civil immigration enforcement. They certainly should not be deported.
The fact that
Democrats and my colleague, Representative Pramila Jayapal, feel the need to even introduce an amendment that says ICE cannot deport U.S. citizens is batshit crazy. This should not even be a discussion. It is not even a question. U.S. citizens cannot be deported by ICE. It's the law. It's the Constitution. I will be astounded if Republicans vote no on this.
A few moments later.
Stunned that I have to tell you this. The Republicans just voted, every single one of them, to allow Donald Trump to deport U.S. citizens.
The Republicans just voted to detain and deport United States citizens. Yes, you heard me right. United States citizens.
They just voted to give Trump the ability, legally, to give him the ability to deport U.S. citizens. That is what they voted for. A bunch of elected U.S. representatives. That is how they voted.
This is always where it was going to go. But that's a dictatorship. That's a dictatorship.
So for any of you listening who are represented in Congress by a Republican, now is the time for you to call him or her and scream as many obscenities as you can fucking think of. And when you're done, if you voted for that person, take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror. Because at the end of the day, none of these treasonous Christian tards could have taken your rights and mine away as a U.S. citizen without your vote in any recent election. And I'll go ahead and say the quiet part out loud. Because of you, a convicted felon can have you and your family, mine and my family, removed from our homes, separated from our spouses and our children to some backwoods detention center no one even knows where we are, and then send us off to another country to live the rest of our lives in a prison, never knowing what happened to our families. Oh, and the best part is any pictures of us, our spouses, our kids will be used against us in future fascist propaganda stunts on the White House lawn. So thanks very much, and fuck you. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.